Hello and welcome to the Hugh Hattrick channel. And it is, of course, the Hugh Hattrick show tonight with a very, very special guest. It is Chunky Ribena. Chunky, it's great to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to be here. It's good to be on this side and not have to worry about asking the questions for a change.
Oh, I might do a quick fire just to catch you out. You know, yes, because we are both podcasters. We are both do interviews. So it's great. This is like Paxman from BBC. And who else could it be? And Piers Morgan or something like that. So we're doing our chat.
I definitely don't want to be Piers Morgan.
Somebody called him Piers Moron the other day. But that was a thing. So it's great to have you on the show. When I came across your channel, you were racing at Monza. And I thought, that is a fantastic name to have for your channel. I know in the pre-chat that we had a few minutes ago, you're kind of giving me how it all came about. But in terms, we'll start with your gaming career, because that's what we like to do, is to start with that. How did your gaming or love of gaming start? How did it all begin?
We're going to have to go back quite a few years here. And we're talking going back to the 90s.
Excellent. Yeah,
and I remember the Sega Master System 2 was the first console my dad got me. And you know, you had your usual games where it was like you're kind of going one way, you're going another. The screen moved, but not the car, of thing. And then there was other games that came along. But then I think I didn't actually get a proper console until the Xbox One came out, the original Xbox. Mm. But in between that, I had a PC that I got when I was about 15, and you know, I was playing games on the keyboard and the mouse. You know, I can't remember what the game is called, but there was a rally game that I used to play quite often. And they used to use the Toyota with the Castrol livery. Other games that, you know, driving around Sebring in like LMPs and sort of stuff like the Painos and all that sort of car. Yeah. And then I can't remember what the Formula One game was, but it was one of the earlier ones that I think might be the first made by Codemasters. So I used to play that. And then I kind of just didn't really do a lot until the Xbox came out, the proper first Xbox, the big black box with a green circle in the middle. And I struggled with names of the games. But there was one I used to play, and it's always in Chase Cam.
Yeah.
And I didn't really sort of think about it too much until, you know, I was kind of in and out of gaming and sim race. Well, not really sim racing, but just driving games. Toka 2 was really good.
That was a great game.
That's fantastic. And I can't remember what the career mode one was after that. Was it Motorsport Driver? I can't remember.
Yeah, Toka 1, the official Toka Touring Cars, Touring 2 was fantastic. Yeah.
And then it was, I think, just before we got married, probably about 2015 sort of time, I was out in London, went to Westfield in Stratford, and there was like a Mercedes dealership. I thought, that's interesting to see a Mercedes dealership inside a Westfield shopping centre on the top floor. I thought, that's a bit odd. Let's go and check out the Mercedes cars while the wife was going into the other place. And as I got closer, there was a TV that had F1 2015 on. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I looked in and I was like, there's a Formula One car in there, which was the 20... So the one Schumacher drove before Hamilton went in. And as I got closer, I'm thinking, oh, there's people sat in that car playing F1 2015.
That's so amazing. Like,
I've got to go and try this out. And I went in there, sat in this car, Formula One car, with, I'm guessing it was a Fanatec.
Yeah.
And I played F1 2015 in that. I was like, I need one of these. I need to do this. Because I was playing like the F1 games on controller. And that's why I need to get one of these. So one of the deals was when we got married, because we saved up, and you have to save up and all that sort of stuff, was we have 1 month where we can buy whatever we want. So my thing was, I'm buying a PlayStation 4 and I'm buying a Logitech G29. And it was my setup at the time. For anyone who is starting sim racing, don't be put off by just not having a rig. I've got a rig now, but I was sitting on an IKEA coffee table, the square ones, sat on the floor with my back against the sofa in kind of like a formula position with the wheel. That's how I started, and then obviously then progressed onto the sofa with a wheel stand, and then now here I am with the whole thing GT Omega provided. So so anyone starting off, don't be scared of not having a rig. You can, you know, do it with just a controller, because a lot of fast controller drivers, or sit on the floor on an IKEA coffee table and immerse yourself.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, we've already got quite a few people in the chat.
Yeah, I can
see. Got Flash Dagger, we've got Hogston, SDS, we've got Erratic as well. It's good to see you all. In fact, I was going to say to Flash, did you not use a controller up until not that long ago? I think Flash was maybe a controller, then he got a sim rig a wee while ago. It was 2017 when I got my first proper rig, because like you, I'd used the controller, and I saw people like Super GT and all the others, you know, they were going so much quicker, so I blamed my equipment for being slow, and I thought, right, it's time to go and get something new and improved.
Did you find that the wheel made you slower to start off with?
Yeah, that's the thing. So you try, you know, the thing is, I built this whole rig, it was a play seat challenge. I built it in my lunch break. I had half an hour to build it, so I think I missed out vital bits of Velcro and other bits that you needed to put in. But I made it. I got it to work and got it to fit, because I got my G29 first of all, and then I couldn't put it anywhere. It was too thick. All my tables were too thick for the bits to actually go onto and screw in. So I thought, I have to get the rig in order for it to work. That's why I told my wife anyway. So so I got it.
That's a tip for anyone out there.
So that's it. Oh, I never used a controller for GT. Damien recently went to controller. Arkis is using a controller. Ru's in here as well. That's the thing. Flash has always had a rig. But how did you find actually when you got your rig? Because you're saying it makes you slower for a wee while. But did you find that you got quicker in a very short period of time?
No, I'm not quick yet either. I don't believe that. Generally, I've got my main GT7 account is got about 2 pixels into the A. That's how far into the A it is.
That's like me.
And if I race on it, it's going to go back down to a B. So I kind of just created my other accounts. So when you see me streaming, I'm always on my B account or my America's account, because I'm not that fast. And I don't know what it is. It's to do more, I found recently, to do with turning points. I can't remember whose stream I was on the other day, but, you know, I know the racing line. I know how you go into a corner to make it fast. But what I found by watching a lot of people is where they're turning is a lot earlier than I was doing. So I was braking and then turning late, whereas people were actually turning a lot earlier and hitting that apex. And carrying a lot more speed. So that's one thing I found that I need to work on. I love playing with traction control because I know it's not the quickest necessarily, but I want to enjoy it and I don't want to be spinning out every two corners. So I find I just use traction control. It just makes it more enjoyable for me. So I probably lose about 2 or 3 temps there.
It makes sense though. I mean, I use it for GT3 and I tend to take it off for GT4, but GT3, because the car, especially the Genesis, is really tricky accelerating out of a corner. It's so easy just for it to spin out. So when I do my time trials, quite often I have the traction control. And when we had that horrendous Genesis thing 2 weeks ago for at Monza, you had to have it was the most horrible thing.
I tried it and I think I'd done about 3 laps before I was like, no, I'm done. I'm not even going to attempt, because the braking was...
Yeah, it was really poor. Yeah, it had to break so early. Flash, to be fair, you got a top 10 time, I think. He was in the early, low 38s and maybe even quicker.
Is that because only 10 people drove it?
Well, Flash is one of the fastest guys out there.
No, he definitely is, yeah.
I just couldn't turn out the last corner, the Parabolica at the end. Even in 6th gear, it was still spinning. And so in the end, I got a silver. I did have a gold time, but it was a silver by a fraction, by 1/10. And I thought, I'm not spending any more time on it. So that was I'd had enough by then. But tell me, what are your favourite combinations when it comes to games? What kind of cars and tracks do you like?
See, I grew up with Formula One cars. So until GT Sport came out, it was Formula One 2010 till Formula One 2017 or 18.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty much all I used to do, other than, you know, I tried Project Cars 2.
Oh yeah,
I found that was very hard to control. So it was.
That's exactly what I thought. That's quite fun. Yeah.
So I was a bit disappointed that they didn't go into Project Cars 3, and I think they kind of just went a completely different way than
yeah.
should have done. But you know, I love Portimao. The track at Portimao is fantastic. Being Portuguese as well. That's
oh, of course, a bit
biased. But I've always loved Formula One cars. But one thing in the last sort of 12 months that I've really started enjoying is GT3s and GT4s.
Yeah,
And not so much Formula One. So I got F1 23.
Oh, yeah, probably
played it once.
Yeah.
So I haven't told the wife that, but we'll keep that between us.
Good value for that money.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. I think what put me off is, yeah, remortgage the house to buy again. So I've always loved Formula One cars, and there's just something about them that I think growing up watching Formula One, you know, Ayrton Senna, you know, I stopped watching Formula One for about six. Yeah,
I was going to say he had a huge Portuguese connection. Isn't it? Because he spoke Portuguese, wasn't it?
Yep.
And with Brazil and had lots of Portuguese connections.
Yeah, so before the Portuguese got good at sport, you know, like I remember at football, we weren't really good until about 96-ish.
Yeah.
So, you know, watching the World Cups, I'm like, yeah, Brazil, I'm watching Brazil, supporting the Brazilian team. You know, and Senna being, I mean, we had Pedro Lamy, but,
you know,
he's... You know, if you're going to talk about Portuguese-speaking drivers, you can't get any better than Ayrton Senna. You know, I think he won his first race at Estoril.
In the wet.
Could be wrong, in the wet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to watch Formula One because I was like, I want to watch Ayrton Senna.
Yeah.
And then when Imola happened, I was like, I was only 10. So it took me a while to process it. And I was like,
yeah.
I stopped watching Formula One for about 5 or 6 years. And then... got back into it and watched every race since. So I'm a big Formula One fan, but I've kind of grown out of it, if that makes sense. And I started watching GTs. There's something about it that I found with GT Sport and GT7 really. So going back to combinations, if we could have it in GT7, would be Portimao in the GT3. That would be, I think, probably my favourite combination, but I am quite.
They did Formula One there, didn't they? During COVID, they did it in Portimao, and it was an amazing race. But Raikkonen had that incredible opening lap where he overtook about 15 people in the Alpha. It's a good track, and I remember the old Portuguese track, the old one at Estoril. Yeah, it was a great track, and now it's simply not hardly used. It was over. One of my friends went to visit it, and it was overgrown. Or certainly the entrance, maybe it's been bought over, but it was looking a bit run down. But it'd be great to see it back in action.
Yeah, I think they do. There was something, because I watch a lot of motorsport on YouTube now, which is the beauty of YouTube. Not just that we create content on it, is I actually watch most of my TV via YouTube.
Yeah, that's what we do now, isn't it? Yeah,
you know, like Daytona was on. Kind of on YouTube, but all the GT World Challenges on there, the IMSA, you get all the IndyCar highlights and all that sort of stuff. But there was a race, a GT3 race at Estoril not very long ago, that was on YouTube, which is always good to see, like a classic Formula One track. You know, we won't go into that because I'm, you know, getting Madrid on the calendar is just not. Doesn't sit well with me, you know.
It's quite funny though, because I think us kind of slightly older Grand Prix fans feel exactly the same way. I think they made such a move in F1 now to try and get younger viewers, but I think they've actually forgotten what Formula One is about in terms of the show, the noise, the characters. and not being, you know, it's, I mean, it's very politically correct, and everyone has to say what the, you know, is so much about the team and all the rest of it. Well, they can't really now go along. And in the old days, when it was Senna and Berger, they used to
Senna take, and Prost.
Yeah, and Prost. But also, even in the without the races, you know, on the weekends, they had birthday cakes or whatever, and they would smack them in the face with a birthday cake and all sorts of things. So it was a lot more interesting, and you got real kind of characters.
Yeah, you know, like seeing Schumacher walking down that pit lane to try and find David Coulthard.
Yeah, that was much more. That was the thing, wasn't it? And talk about Pedro Lamy. I was just watching a thing today. It was on my YouTube that he crashed on that Imola race. He crashed into the back of JJ Leto.
Yeah.
And that's what stopped the race. That's what did all the bits, and then obviously what happened from there. But that was a colossal shunt. It was miraculous.
A weekend that I think changed Formula One, you know, because for the good, because you don't want to see that weekend happen ever again,
yeah,
you know, with yeah. Ratzenberger and, you know, Barrichello, and then Senna. You don't want to see that ever again. It was just a weekend that, but then I think that weekend in a way shaped what Formula One is now.
Certainly from the safety that they had to improve it. I mean, you never have a Vauxhall Cavalier SRI safety car. I mean, that's what it was.
You never have that again.
Yeah, that's what it was. You know, it could barely do 100 mile an hour, you know, on the straight, let alone, you know, anything around the corners. It was quite a thing. In fact, one of our, Jerry has said in the comments, he remembers Mansell at Estoril and his wheel came off. He was in for a tyre, so it was in 1991.
How long ago it was?
Yeah, he came in to do a pit stop. He could have overtaken Senna for the championship because he was battling for that. And I remember James Hunt doing the commentary and saying, "Now they can take it easy. They don't need to rush." And of course, they didn't. They rushed it and they didn't put the wheel on properly. And he got disqualified because he went down the end of the pit lane.
Yeah.
And his wheel came off, and they weren't allowed to go back and get the car. It was quite something. These were epic kind of races at the time.
Yeah, that I mean, Formula One back then was just on a whole different. I mean, the racing was great because the cars were smaller. You know, there was nothing to them. So I've driven a single seater around Doddington.
So have I. We're doing so many things here.
Was it the racing school?
It was the Jim Russell Racing School.
Yeah, so the blue ones. You know, those, that's the closest I think I'll ever get to experiencing what it would have been like in the 90s and the 80s, because this car, I think, has a 1.6 litre engine in a single seat. I mean, the tyres are about that thick. They're not even, I mean, I wouldn't say thick, they're skinny. You have a round wheel that's got no dash on it. And then you've got manual transmission and a clutch. So driving around Donington was quite the experience.
Yeah.
And it gave me a big idea of what it's like to drive a Formula One car, especially back in those days. And now we all experience what it's like to drive a real Formula One car in 2024 because it's kind of like just sitting in your house, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And the rig.
Completely different.
No, it's quite a thing. I mean, I actually drove. I was at the Jim Russell Racing School 2 weeks before the European Grand Prix at Donington, and that's when I just turned 18, and so I got it as a birthday present to go and drive. It was a day's driving, and you did different cars, but it was a Vauxhall Lotus. That was I was skinny enough at that time to be able to get in it, and so I was able to get into that. And we drove around this to loop at the back. And we did go-karting, and then we drove Vauxhall Astras and a few other things. But they were preparing the circuit for the race, and then we were back 2 weeks later to watch the European Grand Prix. That was the second part of my birthday present. So I actually saw the race where Senna won at Donington. So it was an incredible thing. Have you ever been to a Grand Prix to actually see?
No. So this is the big thing, right? So I've never been to a Grand Prix. It's on my bucket list. Mm. And I have seen a Formula One car in person. So I don't know if you remember, probably about 10, 15, 20 years ago, they did that parade in London.
Oh, with Jenson Button.
So I was there and, you know, like seeing Regent Street and Piccadilly Circus.
Well, the noise was amazing.
Packed.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never experienced anything like that. I had one of those Samsung flip phones. I didn't have it for very long, and I think it might have been Coulthard in the Jaguar that drove past, and that thing was so loud that the microphone in my phone stopped working. You know, and I wasn't even upset about it. I was like, that sounds just fantastic. So this year is my 40th birthday in September, and I've been told I can go to a Formula One race.
Oh, so what are you going to choose? Abu Dhabi.
Well, here's the thing, and a lot of you probably can relate, is I was told I can choose whatever race I want. Until I started saying Vegas would be nice. Suzuka would be nice.
I quite enjoyed that race.
And then I was told, no, it has to be in Europe. So I was thinking, okay, Monaco would be nice. Silverstone would be nice. No, we can't do those ones. They're too expensive. So I think it may end up being Budapest. I've been told Spa is quite good. And maybe the Red Bull Ring. Although, I will probably do a Formula One race next year, more than likely. Which one, I don't know.
I would actually quite like to do the classic race, the classic GP at Monaco, because it's a lot cheaper to get into that. And we went to France a few years ago, and from the south of France, we could get the train into Monaco. And I took my family with me, and we walked around the track. It was being taken down at the time, because it was just at the end of June. But the atmosphere at Monaco, even without all of that, is electric. And I thought it would be incredible to see that, the old classic GP cars race around Monaco. That would be something.
Going back to the Senna thing, I mean, Senna and Monaco, you don't get any better than that. You know, if you're going to put a Formula One driver in the circuit, Senna and Monaco is by far the one. But I have been to Formula E. And as much as people hate on Formula E, I really loved it. I've been twice. I've done both the Battersea Park races. And those things are surprisingly loud.
All right, because it sounds like there is an electric whine from it when you see them.
But that whine is actually not as quiet as people might think it is, which is pretty interesting. But I also got to be going to the pit lane as well. So as a bit of a hobbyist photographer, I've got a photo book somewhere in this room of photos that I've took on the pit lane Formula E at Battersea Park. So
I know, because Battersea Park, they used to do a race there many years ago. I'm sure they did F1 back in the 50s, so they did a big classic race at Battersea. Crystal Palace. It was Crystal Palace.
That's the one.
That's what it was. But we used to race up here where I'm from, in the Scottish Borders. There was a racetrack. It was just in north, just outside Duns in the Scottish Borders, it's an old airfield, and they used to have Jim Clark turning up there. They had Stirling Moss, they had Jack Brabham, all the guys in the early 50s would race there, and it was just in a field, just in an old airfield at Charter Hall. That's what it was, Charter Hall in the Scottish Borders. It was something. But Jerry has said that the classic Silverstone Grand Prix is really good, and it's on the August bank holiday. So that would be one to maybe measure. Actually, that would be quite good to go to.
It would be, but I've already got plans for the August bank holiday.
All right.
I know some of the guys watching here know that I'm a big, big wrestling fan. And AEW goes to Wembley again this year. So that's where I'll be at bank holiday weekend. I'll be at Wembley Stadium watching people in hardly any clothes throwing each other around. So I went last year. It's fantastic. 80,000 people watching wrestling in Wembley Stadium was... Simon, I can't cancel those plans. I think wrestling at the moment has probably done more for my mental health, especially over COVID, than motorsport. So I've got to give them that due.
Yeah. No, it's funny you like the different sports. Going back to Formula One, and the game as well. Do you find that you prefer playing? I know you didn't play F1 2023 that much, but did you play previous F1 games in the last few years as well as GT7 and things like that?
So when GT Sport came out, I did play GT Sport, and so that's one of the first games I got when I had the wheel. And I think it must have been F1 2018.
I
played quite a lot. I've actually was going through my own personal, so this is not my personal YouTube account that I do my gaming on. I've got my own one that I use to watch stuff, and I was going through it the other day, and I was like, I've actually uploaded videos back in 2017 of me. One's a GT Sport race, which I'm probably going to download and re-upload. But I was driving around Silverstone in F1 2017, I think it was. Trying to do it with no traction control. So you can imagine how comical that might have been. So I did play them all the way through. I think the last one I properly played was 21. And that's because we used to have a little group of friends that kind of just went on every week, and we just used to drive and have a bit of a laugh over comms all over the country. So, you know, so me up in the northwest. You're northeast, we're northwest. You know, and some of us down in London, and then it turns out one of the guys I used to race lives not far from where I live, so bit of a coincidence. But it's only when 22 came out that I started thinking it's just the same game over and over again.
There was a bit of a difference, I thought, with 2023, because I missed 2022, and I went to that one this year, and I got it for PS5. And I actually thought it was a bit better. I thought the handling characteristics were quite good. And I thought as well, the noise in your ear is much better when you're doing the actual races. What bugs me is the fact that when you do online play, you don't get like equal settings. Or the main one, you have to kind of do up your car and everything else. And I would rather just go in with equal settings and just go and race, because I find that's the most fun way of doing it. But they've decided to do go a different direction.
Yeah, I think GT7's done that as well, haven't they?
I wish they didn't have to have settings on some of the races. I wish they just give you a good setup. Just give you a car with a good setup. That's all you need. And then just go and race. But what's your take on the current state of GT7?
I've been thinking of doing a video on this for a few weeks now. And I'm very mixed opinions at the moment. So
yeah,
I think with GT7, I think when I go into GT7, I want to just go and race. And I think that's the same with most of us. You know, so I would rather there not be any setups. Also because setups in GT7 are not quite the same as setups in, let's say, ACC, which I've been really enjoying recently. You know, and then they're doing it in Daily B, which, I mean, for a 4 or 5 lap race, do we really need to have setups? Especially when the Mazda is so overpowered anyway. You might as well just have... So it's a bit disappointing in that respect, but in terms of GT7, I think there's a lot of criticism towards polyphony, which I think is probably unwarranted. You know, I think it's mainly to do with the updates. And this is where I've been sort of thinking a lot about it, because, you know, I play ATC at the moment, and, you know, they have DLCs, and if you want a new track, like Red Bull Ring, you have to buy that DLC. You know, you get a load of cars with it as well, but you have to pay for that DLC. Whereas, you know, GT7, they're giving us these cars for free. You know, they don't have to do that, because at the end of the day, you've bought that game, albeit a little bit too expensive, in my opinion, but that's the way the gaming industry is going. But you've bought the game, and you are now getting all this content given to you included in that price that you've already paid. Whereas, you know, games like ACC or iRacing, you buy the game, and then when they release a new DLC, you have to buy it. So I think, like, there's a bit of criticism unwarranted towards polyphony, but the whole setup thing, I think, is very warranted. I think it's GT7 isn't really the game for all the setups that in intricate changes that you need to make to be able to just be competitive. The same as with Forza, because I think I haven't played Forza, but I've seen some of the videos where you know, you've got to level up your car, and then you get a feel that's so spread out because someone's new and their car's not as fast as someone who's been playing.
Aye. I just think it's a waste of time. They could have a certain lobby for that or a server for that, but I think most of us just want to get on and play and have fun. And if the cars are good and they feel fun to drive and they're quite realistic to drive, then all the better. And that's what annoys me with the F1 game, is that the cars are actually quite good to drive. They're actually quite fun in that environment, or if you do the races, they're good to play. So just being playing standard in a standard setting would be brilliant in that. So
one of the things Codemasters do that's really good is they do have setups. So you can use your default ones, but you can then have very intricate setups. But what they allow you to do is you can go in and see the fastest time in the world. You know, you can see what Jarno Otmir's using and say, actually, I want to just copy his setup.
Yeah.
And that gets transferred. And you save that. So that's a good... They got the setups, but you can choose to copy someone else's. I mean, I wouldn't use Jarno Otmir's because the way he can control a car is completely different to how I control it. So I would struggle with Jarno's. But yeah, it's a mixed state for, I think, for GT7 at the moment. But it's the one game we got to remember is that's bringing us all together. And at the end of the day,
complain and moan.
no matter how bad it could ever get, you know, we got all these people in here watching, you know, all the people that subscribe to our channels, that we go and watch as well.
Yeah.
All because of this little game called GT7.
So I mean, there are great aspects to it, don't get me wrong. It is quite fun. I think single player is quite fun in places. It's quite good. Some of the challenges are all right, but I think because the sports side is so popular, that's what has really taken off, isn't it? It's kind of, that's what you really like to do. I mean that's why I did my video a couple of nights ago on it, just saying it'd be nice to have a bit of variation, because they've got so many combinations and tracks. It would be nice to have something that's not just GT3 and GT4. I quite like the Super Formula. I think they're quite good. But I think it'd be great if GT7 could get like a single seater, like a kind of Formula Ford. If they could license something like that, even an old Vauxhall Lotus or something, and have a classic kind of single seater that was low powered. I think that would be great fun.
It would open up a lot more doors, because I think knowing I mean, obviously, we don't know what the Formula One series is going to do this year, because I have a feeling that the game that comes out in June or July will be completely different to the previous iterations. Because I think this might be the first year where we get something for the new generation of consoles, and it might be just on the new generation. Because a lot of the games at the moment, including GT7, I think are being held back by chip shortages, PS4s and the old Xboxes, to make it work for both. So I think the new F1 game will probably be a lot better. It'll be a completely new game from the ground up. I hope I'm not disappointed. But
there's similarly AC 2 is coming out as well. Assetto Corsa 2 is coming out on PC, so that could be quite interesting.
I think it's going to be a good year for games, for car based games. Hopefully we might have Solar Crown out at last. I wouldn't hold my breath. We've got Le Mans Ultimate coming out this month, I think it is. It's out, but it's not out, if that makes any sense. Bit disappointed about the IndyCar game. But you know, like, maybe actually if Polyphony could go and license IndyCar.
Yeah.
You know,
because they were stuck, weren't they? They didn't have it. Now, I think iRacing had it for a while, or somebody had it, and then has iRacing just got it? One of the two of them has just got a new license with IndyCar.
Or is it R Factor? I can't remember which one. But yeah, it's you know, those IndyCars are really good. I remember driving them in Project Cars, and they were very fun to drive.
The original Project Cars was great. I loved that. I actually held the fastest time on one of the online bits, you know, because there were so many different online tracks you could do.
Yeah.
And it was the one, it was the South of France reverse. It was the one that went through, what did they call it? It wasn't Monaco, but it was Azure. I'm sure it was Azure South. It took me about 10 minutes to do it. And I used to play into the late hours of that is because when we first had kids, I used to stay up late for my little ones so I could then do the feed at midnight. So I would, in the meantime, I would play my Project Cars up into the early hours.
I don't know how you did that.
And I go to bed once the wee one was fed at midnight, then I could go to sleep. And then my wife would get up at four. She'd go to bed at eight. So she had 8 hours in between. But that's what I did to cover the time, was play Project Cars. It's funny how we played so many similar games, the same games, and like them or not like them. So that was the thing. Did you play the original Toka Touring, or was it just Toka Touring Cars 2?
Did I play the original? I might have played both. I don't want to say I did, but I definitely remember the motorsport one where you had a career. You start as a basic, like driver in the entry feeder series, and then you kind of drive all the way to the main BTCC.
Because you could do single seaters in that. Yeah. In that one, and I had the funniest blip in that game because I did the Formula Ford or whatever it was that you had, or Formula Vauxhall, and I remember racing at Silverstone, and I had a big crash. I remember going around one of the, it was Beckett's, and I took somebody off, but I managed to keep going. And I kid you not, when I came round the next lap, the guy was waiting next to his car, shaking his fist at me on the game. And I thought, that's a fantastic, fantastic bit that they've written into the game.
And when you're sitting in your trailer and someone comes in.
So it was a great game, actually. It'd be nice to see someone like that again in the future. They said they were going to do more touring car games. And I think Autumn and Blista 2 has licensed for some of the touring cars that are current.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, I think they've got a few of them, maybe the Toyota and the Hyundai, I think.
I was hoping that if we're going to talk about GT7 and cars, like what that could come to GT7, they could bring in the Laguna or the Volvo Estate from the BTCC.
If they could license it, it'd be worth a fortune, especially the current cars. If they could say, I'd imagine GT Sport with the British Touring Car and BTCC on it, that would be a huge update. I think people would pay. People would pay to have actually to get that upgrade if it came.
I mean, get it. I designed the Nescafe Renault livery in GT Sport. So I used to drive the Megane, and I was like, it's a Renault. I've got to get the Nescafe livery. It's a beautiful livery. I mean, like most BTC, like touring car liveries from the 90s are just iconic.
Oh, it was great fun racing, and even the Toyota Camrys. We had Andy Rouse and that, and they were taking each other off, and then you had John Cleland and the Vauxhall Cavalier, and he crashed into Steve Sofer in the BMW 3 Series Coupe. He had that great one at Silverstone, which basically finished their championship. There's so many great memories, but it is doing better now. I've seen it at Knockhill, and also at Croft. I've been down and I saw the touring car race last year at Croft, or 2 years ago at Croft, and that was quite good. So in terms of your channel, I mean, it's growing well, and you've got a big community. Many of your community are here tonight watching. Yeah. What kind of things would you like to say to them? So how it's going?
Just the usual. I mean, I'm just grateful for the support. I was listening to your podcast with Rory, and he was saying something similar when he was at about 30,000. It's like, why would someone choose to watch me? I just do it for fun. Partly as well to gain a bit of confidence, because I've always been quite introverted, and I've always struggled growing up. So obviously don't really talk a lot about secondary school, because it was just a time I don't really want to remember. Quite tough, especially growing up in South London, which was incredibly rough. And then kind of just never felt like I was accepted. And then I was like, I just need to build a bit of confidence, my first few videos that I did had me typing into Google, then getting Google to speak it out in that AI voice. And then I would download that and post it into the video, and then that's how I started with my videos. And then I started, just gradually got to a point where I was like, I need to just do it myself. And the fact that some people, I mean, there's people that are still there from day one. I've watched some of my first streams, and the people that watch now were there at the beginning. And, you know, it's just, I didn't think I'd get 1,000 subscribers. You know, to be closing in on 3 is mind-blowing. In just over 18 months, I think it is.
That's very good. Yeah.
Obviously, the content I'm creating is slightly different. So anyone that's watching that, you know, might notice my content shifting a little bit. It's partly because I just want to... I've always liked different games. And I don't want to burn myself out. And I'd also say to everyone else, don't focus on that number of subscribers, and do content for just for the purpose of getting that number up. You, at the end of the day, we've all got to enjoy it. And
yeah,
at the moment, I'm enjoying ACC. So my content is shifting slightly. Not that I've forgotten about GT7, because I'll still be doing a lot of GT7 going forward. But I noticed
a lot of people are doing that now. Or I think it's the feel of ACC, isn't it? It's more involving.
Yeah, I mean, go back to setups. It's all about setups with ACC.
But,
you know,
but it's understandable in that sense. It's more realistic having a setup because you have to have that for these kind of cars.
Yeah, this week's actually quite interesting between ACC and GT7 because Daily Race C is the same race as LFM in the sprint race. It's both Nürburgring in the GT3s. So it's a really good comparison this week to see how one game could be compared to the other. You know, and I know we've got Hoxton here who's doing a lot of ACC stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Hoxton. Yes.
Which is fantastic. You know, he's a great streamer, so if anyone hasn't checked him out.
I was going to say, for you guys in the chat, please feel free to put your channel links in there as well, because we always like to try and support one another's channels.
And that's one thing I do love about my on my channel. I know a lot of us do that. You know, Flash does it. I know Sparks does it. I'll always be grateful for Dead Eye Del Boy, who, without him, my channel wouldn't be where it is now. I know he probably wouldn't want to take that credit, but he's been one of the supporters from the off. You know, when in his stream, and he's like, go and check this guy out, go and check him out. You know, Erratic was in here earlier. You know, Erratic, you are an absolute erratic person, let's just put it that way, for a very good reason. But yeah, the community is just fantastic. It's just, you know, I will always get people to share links. You know, if anyone ever comes into my streams and I'm doing GT7, just put exclamation SO and tag the person and it links to their channel.
Right. Well, that's quite good, isn't it?
So it only works on GT7 at the moment, but I'll probably try and allow that to happen on ACC. But yeah, the community is fantastic. There are some which we won't name, you know, that do try and spoil it. And I won't give them the time of day, because you know, it has got to a point where some people do come and try and troll you and do try and almost destroy your mental health. So there are those people out there. They know who they are. But for 99.9% of people, it is absolutely fantastic. And they're a pain to have on my stream or me on their stream.
I think that's the nice thing about the communities of the different YouTubers, isn't it? That you choose your different races, you choose how you build your channel and what you have, you know, your enthusiasm. And it's tough being enthusiastic about certain... when I did the Genesis time trial, it was really tough trying to be enthusiastic about that. And I thought, no one's going to want to watch me being miserable about this car. So I really had to put on the smiling face and, yes, this is, we'll get there, when it was clearly not getting there. So it is quite fun how people do it. It's great fun. Just, I mean, we love playing games, don't we? We just love the racing games because we want the real action. This is as close as we feel we can sometimes get, you know, to getting into a racing car, isn't it? And playing and things like ACC, they're fantastically intense. And you know, you feel every bump. In fact, I was racing at Bathurst last night on ACC on the PC version with Jeff, the Sim Cafe's community. And the thing is, you come along the top of Bathurst, and as you come down the hill, there's a huge bump as you go into the right hander. Now on GT7 today, on their time trial, there's no bump. It's just totally smooth, and you just go straight through. But on the ACC, it totally throws the car if you
even
do the same
Nürburgring
thing.
Nürburgring as well.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I've got to say that the ACC version of Nürburgring is a better version. I mean, the last chicane itself, I do not like the version they're using GT7. It's partly because I can't control the car through that chicane. But
it's a horrible chicane. Horrible.
So you know that there's two chicanes there towards the end of the lap. So in GT7, we used the first entry, which is a lot tighter. And in ACC, you used the second entry.
It's much nicer.
Which is a lot nicer. You can just coast through. It's, you know, if Polyphony are listening, just use that version. Use that version.
It's like most tracks, isn't it? There's always one bit that's horrible. Or there's always one bit that you kind of think, oh, if they didn't have that, it would be so much easier, just nicer. But that the second chicane is much, much better, I think, on ACC.
But going back to the bumps as well, I mean, the bumps, like, even when I'm driving on this, on ACC, you're driving in a straight line and you can just feel that little rumbling of every little bit on the track. And then you get to GT7, it's like, oh, this is so nice.
Well, actually, to be fair, I've got the Logitech 923, and this wheel comes alive on ACC, but it doesn't do on GT7. It's not great for GT7, I find. Not an awful lot of feel, same with the pedals. But on ACC, it's far, far better. It's much more fun.
I think my wife is glad that I've got a Fanatec. I mean, she probably wasn't happy that I've bought the Fanatec, but if I was doing ACC with the G29, she would probably absolutely hated me and kicked me out of the house. Because that thing, you know, it's got the gears, and then rattle through that, going through the floor. If you're downstairs, which is where the living room is, it used to literally go through the whole house. I'm glad I don't have a G29 doing ACC. Let's just put it that way.
Because they used to rattle away on any kind of when they were on those, especially on those games on ACC. I know it's quite a thing. So what would you like to do in the near future with your channel and your community? Do you have kind of plans to help it grow? What's your kind of your direction?
So at the moment, it's in a bit of a standstill at the moment, because, you know, up to until the baby was born, I was doing a lot of content, and, you know, I had all the time to do that content. And since the baby has come, I've kind of had to gradually do less and less and less. I'm at the point now where I'm doing a lot more ACC. So it's that whole people subscribe for GT7, not for ACC. And it's kind of that in between. So it's kind of leveled out a bit. But the plan is to do more live streams, because videos that my OCD means it has to be perfect. Like, there was a video I did last week which I uploaded and then watched it back, and I was like, no, I've got to take this down, because there was it wasn't even something major, but it was enough to annoy me, so that I had to take the video down, re-edit it, and re-upload it. Whereas with a live stream, I find that the engagement with the community is so much better. You know, you can have people come in talking about wrestling, people come in talking about whatever they want, you know. And now that I've kind of copied Sparks a little bit with you know, the point system on the GT7 streams. You know, it's quite fun. Like, I know SDS was here earlier, so I don't think he's come and checked the little kitten out yet, that I did for him. So you type
is that in your Streamlabs? Is that you kind of come up with all these features?
So it's StreamerBot. So you kind of connect it via that. You have to have that running in the background, but it connects into your OBS. So, you know, we've got that. You get fireworks. So if, you know, people use points to get fireworks, or you know, stuff like that.
That's,
you know,
Sparks. Good. It's quite fun. His one is excellent. He's
the master of it. I've got to give him the credit for it. But if anyone's wondering, I'm just copying Sparks. He did say I can do it, and he has helped me out setting it up. So, So I didn't want to nick his idea at first, because I did say I didn't want to take his idea, but he said go for it. So it's something that's, you know, I think at the moment it's just Sparks and me that do. And it does help make it more interactive.
I love Sparks' intro. When his intro to his stream was hilarious. Someone sounds like he's sitting in a public bathroom and he's talking away, trying to get out of the toilet or something. It was hilarious with the whole thing. But it was a real kind of comedy. Which is nice to kind of bring in the whole build up of starting the stream. We've got Sparks on like the 25th of February. We're going to do an interview.
You can't miss that.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to that too. But I know it's been really, really good. Well, I see it's nearly 10 to 9. We've been going for nearly 50 minutes.
It flies by, doesn't it?
It flies by. I know you've got a little one there, so you've probably been kind of, your wife will be stamping on the door saying, keep quiet, the little one's trying to sleep. But I know that happened to me when I used to talk away doing my streams. And I know I don't know so much of that, but it's very easy to wake a little child up. But for last quick words for your community, this is your chance to answer some questions. Now, for the community here, what would you like to ask Chunky? What were the kind of things that you would like to see him do and ask him now? Now is your chance.
I think some people ask a few questions at the top.
I'll go back up the top there and see. Oh yes, what do you think of the lottery spends on GT7?
What do I think of them?
The Russian roulette, the roulette things, aren't they?
They're some of my most viewed videos. So for content, fantastic. You know, I got a lot of slack from some people about how I've worded the thumbnails. Because I was like, is it fixed? Is it fixed or is it fixed? A bit cheeky play on words. It's definitely fixed. And you're always likely to get top left.
Yeah,
I have had a few big wins on them, so I can't really...
Yes, I did win the full gold bars once. In fact, twice I think I've won that.
Yeah. So it seems to me when I do the videos, I kind of get more... I'll get better prizes, so maybe that's how you need to do it. You need to make a video of you opening maybe 20 tickets at one go, and then you're more likely to get a better prize. I think it's just a bit of fun. I think we all know what it's going to be.
A suspension part or the loose change
on the camshaft for a car that you'll never have.
Yeah, be more interested if it's a camshaft for a ladder Riva or something, you know, or something that would be like, and then bringing a Riva to next week's competition, to the next week's time trial, you know, or something that would be, whether it be the one time trial where it would break down as you drove round, you know, that would be the thing. But, Jerry's got a question here. If there's a Grand Prix you would like to have been at live in the past, which one would it be? That's a good question.
Oh, that is a very good question. Which one? Abu Dhabi. I was a Hamilton fan back in the day, and I think Hamilton's kind of lost his way a little bit. I don't think he connects to me how he did back in 2007.
It's all the political stuff again, getting used to all the political stuff, which shouldn't really be there.
But I found that Abu Dhabi was... So, okay, let's just do it Hamilton two ways. Interlagos. Because these are two Grand Prix where I literally lost my shiz. As a McLaren fan, Hamilton winning the championship at Interlagos
was incredible.
It was fantastic. Because I remember I got off my seat and my parents thought I was absolutely...
Yeah, wrong. I was like this. I was like this on the last lap because he was behind. I was like...
Timo Glock. And then Abu Dhabi. Because it's the first race where I finally saw Formula One drama. In a very long time. And I was like, come on, Max. Not that I'm a big Max Verstappen fan. But it was just... chaos and something slightly different. So those have probably got to be two of the standout races. But then you've got Spa 98, Indy. As a Portuguese person, I've got to say Indy is the best Grand Prix a Portuguese driver has ever had. Being on the podium in a Jordan, granted there are only six cars in the race, but there's quite a few. It's just...
It's amazing, isn't it? I would have loved to have gone to Brazil in, I think, was it 91? Was it 91 or 90? Or no, actually 93, when Senna won. And he was given the trophy by Fangio. I'm sure it was Fangio. And then he gets it and then he kind of lifts the trophy and he can barely lift it up.
He can barely move.
Yeah, and he's full of tears with the whole thing. And I thought, that's the most incredible kind of podium aspect of it, and the crowd was just going absolutely bonkers with the whole thing. But and yeah, no, that was it. There's so many great races over the years. I think as well, I think probably Hungary '92 when Mansell won his championship, because I've been following him for so long that I just to see him finally get it, that would have been a good one. That that's the thing. I was going to say, Jerry said it was 1993. It was at Senna at Durrington. Yeah, because that's when I went there. Because that's the one. What's the one Grand Prix that I've seen? Was that one? But yeah, no, that's the thing. And Jerry was saying, I wish I'd been at Silverstone '87 when Mansell hunted down and passed Piquet. That's right, and set so many lap records. That was an amazing, amazing race. Yeah. I know it's quite a thing.
There's that question there from Rue as well. How many seconds a lap does the beard give me? Right, how many seconds does it take off? It probably makes me about 3 seconds a lap slower. I think if I got rid of this beard, I would probably be the fastest driver in the game. but it weighs me down, so it's quite a considerable amount of time. But it's got to stay. It's not good without it.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's great. Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
For sure.
And you're welcome to come back anytime from one podcaster to another. It's been fantastic to have you on. And it's great to have seen your community come in tonight and be interactive. You've got a lot of fantastic supporters there. And if you haven't already subscribed, this is to the guys watching or listening, we've got Chunky's link in the description. So you're please feel free to subscribe to Chunky's channel. And it's been phenomenal to have you on. It's been great. Now, do you know our kind of, we have our line here, our kind of ridiculous line that we always finish the show with. Have you done your homework? Though I nobody usually does. So, no, that's fine. That's all right.
Thing is, I get bored quite easily. Not bored, but distracted. And so like, I'll listen to a podcast for like half an hour, then I'll put it down for a bit and I'll go back to it later on. I was listening to your one with Rory, and you know, when you were telling me earlier about going to your friend's house and checking out the rig and about the load cell pedal. I'll listen to most of it, but then, you know, generally it's when I'm driving, so I'll probably be distracted with not crashing or whatever it is. So I don't know the line, but I'm sure we can wing it.
It is, of course, drive fast, but drive your bus even faster. It's a very responsible one. That, as I'm a bus driver, that's what it was. But no, as it used to be, drive fast, don't crash. I got that from Michael Schumacher when he was asked at the beginning of a season, what's your motto? What's your kind of driving thing? You know, what's your thing you're aiming for? He just said, drive fast, don't crash. You know, and that was it. So that was the thing. But no, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And for everybody watching, you've been watching the Hugh Hattrick Show with Chunky Ribena. Stay on the line, Chunky, but we'll say goodbye to all the guys in the chat. And this, of course, will become a podcast over the weekend. But take care, everyone. Drive fast and try not to crash.
Definitely don't crash.